a little bit of a homecoming for me today, this weekend. As I said last night, I got saved in the Cougars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can anything good come out of the Cougars?
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on. You're all believers. Yeah. You believe that's true. I believe that's true.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I think a lot of good things come.
Yeah. I spent about 4 years here in the Kootenays. I'm a farm guy from down in Abbotsford, and I'm back there again. But today I'm back here.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing. You know, I don't know how the Lord was leading me back then. I didn't recognize it, but He was doing it. And somehow I was just hungry enough and thirsty enough to follow. But I didn't know what was going on. And I ended up in a little cabin up in the Spokane Valley, Passmore. Yeah? Oh, there's a Passmore right there. Way up in the hills, even, you know, not just by the bridge, I mean further up the bridge, the end of the road where the pavement ended, and then even further than that, and this little valley within the valley was a snow belt. And I had this little Dukebor sauna house that I lived in that had a rafters and a loft upstairs and a little airtight that I plugged full of wood every night, and it would last till about 3:30 in the morning, and then I'd have to wake up to icicles on my mustache and, you know, knock those off. Some of you can relate. Yeah. Well, we went out there today.
We did. It's a fixture up.
We went out there today. My $15 a month cabin, it needs some fixing up. I shoveled the snow off there 3 times that first winter until I had nowhere to shovel the snow anymore. And I don't think the snow has been shoveled off that roof for 20 years. In fact, there's not much roof, is there, Pastor Tim?
Not much roof?
Not much roof.
I think there was more non-roof than there was roof.
Yeah. You know, I think those guys that go and fix up the houses, you know, for people while they're away, they got quite a challenge with this one. This is a real reality show. You know? So I come back here, and I go out there, and yeah, it's disappointing, but there's been a lot of water flowed down the Spokane River since then. Beautiful river still.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you really do live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I hope you appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
God loves this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is almost like a paradise. Do you know that people run away from things to come here?
Yes.
So,
well, that's true.
I don't want to show hands. I was running. A lot of people were running in the 70s. They ran here and they couldn't run any further. Mm-hmm. They ran right into the arms of God. That's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a homecoming here for me today. It's brought up all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Got Bibles? Mm-hmm. You still believe in the Bible here?
We do.
I know a lot of people can have their Bibles on phones and things like that.
Oh, I should do that.
You know,
I got
it's good to consult, isn't it? I know you don't use maps too much anymore. Everybody's got GPS.
Yeah.
You know, but I lived in a house, and I don't know, the GPS got fouled up on it. And whenever I tell the next generation, "Oh, I'll explain the directions," they go, no, I got GPS. And about 5 minutes before they were supposed to, you know, well, 5 minutes after they were supposed to have arrived, I get a phone call. I'm lost. You know, there's a lot of people been lost. We need the guidebook. We need the guidebook. Mm-hmm. Amen. His name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And I'm just got one verse I want to share with you right off. It's Revelation 2. I love the book of Revelation because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that's what people need. It's not the revelation of Antichrist, and it's not the revelation of end times, so don't go, ooh, all need to be referred to Revelation. Oh. Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, verse 7. He's writing to the book, the church of the Ephesians here.
Mm-hmm,
the first of 7 letters. And there's a sevenfold pattern all the way through. And the last part is this verse basically to every church.
Yeah.
He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, let him hear.
Yeah.
Hello, anybody over here got ears?
Yeah.
How many? You got two ears? Okay. Take hold of your ears. Yeah. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Some of you remember that from Sunday school? Yeah? No, this is. If you got ears, they're more than for holding up your glasses.
Yeah.
If you got ears, it's time to hear.
Yes.
What did you hear last night?
Truth.
I'm loved.
Ah.
Loved?
Partnership.
Partnership.
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
Truth.
I heard not more information, but transformation.
Yeah?
Yeah. In other words, you are not a computer that just needs to download all this stuff. In fact, this isn't stuff. This is revelation if you receive it.
Yeah.
Yeah? So he's saying right away, if you've got ears, this is time to use them.
Yeah.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not just what the pastors are saying and the leaders are saying and prophets, some self-called prophets are saying.
Yeah.
Hear what the Spirit, be tuned to which way the wind is blowing and what the wind is whispering. Hear it. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the Kootenays.
Come on.
Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Right in our midst.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to make this the focal point. I'm going to make this the center of what you're looking at.
Come on.
Your attention. He who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. You won't just have to look at it. You hungry?
Yes.
You'll be able to eat from it. Oh, wow. Come on.
Yes.
Of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And basically two parts I just want to look at here. Overcome. Overcome. To him who overcomes, I will give. To him who overcomes. What's an overcome? Overcome. It's like you come to obstacles. You come to mountains. What's your tendency? What's your habit when you come to something that doesn't move? A door that doesn't open? Now, sometimes my tendency is like, boom, boom, knock, knock, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You think hitting your head against that door is going to open that door? Trying the same thing over and over again is really a definition of
insanity,
right? Okay. It says, him who overcomes. Well, let's just pray that there's no obstacles in our way. No, overcome means that there's got to be something to overcome.
Yeah.
And so instead of praying for no obstacles, let's pray for stronger backs. After all, he said he'd bear us, right? He'd carry us. An overcomer is somebody who is able to rise up from the midst of his circumstances and somehow rise out of them, above them. And he says that when you do this, when you overcome, then there's going to be something there in our experience. He goes through seven letters of the fruit, the rewards for overcoming.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor Ted sang the song too. How many heard the words of the song? He says there's more to this than just salvation. There's more to this than just drinking of the river yourself. Mm-hmm. There's more.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, Romans 8, which is kind of like the height of Paul's writing, Romans 8, it's the chapter. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, right?
Right.
He says we are more than conquerors.
Right.
There's a lot of armies that can come in and conquer a land, but they can't govern it. They can't rule it. Now, the kingdom of God is more than just conquering.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is more than, I got my salvation.
Yeah.
I got my ticket when I die. I can cash it in. No. The kingdom of God, this is the first message that Jesus says. come out of the wilderness after he whooped the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yep. Come on.
You want it? You want it, Mark?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yeah.
It's at hand. Come.
There you go. That's it.
See, now some of us,
reach out.
We sit there, well, yeah, I know it's coming, but the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you want it? Yeah, he said, repent. In other words, turn around from looking at the other thing. Turn around from making other things to be the center focus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Time is fulfilled now. Repent and receive the gospel of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That was a little simple. Sometimes it's very hard to receive it. But the beautiful thing.
You're not getting
it
back.
Good, but where's it going? See, that's the key. It's more than just I got it.
That's right.
I got my ticket.
Yeah.
Now this is just a glasses case. If some of you need some new vision, you need some new vision beyond yourself.
Yeah.
You need a vision beyond yourself.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, it's like I can't hear from God. Well, have you prayed for somebody else to hear from God? Job, his captivity was turned. His trial, his tribulation was turned when he prayed for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something more here that's beyond ourselves. No, that's what he's saying. He says, I want you to overcome. I want you to rise up out of your circumstances. I want you to go above your obstacle. This amazing thing about how God has put it.
Yeah.
He's put it into his people, but then he wants us to see it. So this has kind of become one of my verses lately. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Anybody know?
They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary and walk and not grow faint.
Wow. How come you know that? Did you learn it in Sunday school? Or?
No, I read it.
You read it? And somehow it just, wow, and you committed it to memory, eh? Yeah, it's one of those verses. They that wait upon the Lord. Well, I've been waiting for 20 years. That doesn't mean wait around twiddling your fingers. It means that those who serve, you know, like a waiter, waitress?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah? Those who are serving God, those who wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. In other words, they don't run out of strength. No matter how great the obstacle.
Yeah.
Okay? They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will mount up with wings like eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, like, sometimes life is pretty hard. It's difficult. I like how God makes it simple, but not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He makes it simple. You know, God... Any of you ever deal with confusion?
Yeah.
Complications?
Yeah.
Is life complicated for you? Okay.
I
believe that God's got a way to cut right through the complications. He's got a way like better than the wisdom of Solomon to come right through. And he says, it's like rising up with wings like eagles. I just got back from Nepal. Okay. Highest mountains in the world. And we were coming back from this one place and we were flying along level. Most airlines fly about 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Everest is 29,500 feet. And so we're flying along. I can't see anything because the wing is on this side and the engine is below the wing and it's blocking my view. But all of a sudden we banked and this panorama of mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're above the clouds, so you can see them all.
Yeah.
That's an eagle eye view. Because an eagle rises above all of the circumstances. How does he do it? Well, I got a deep theological question for you. Yes, he. Yeah, Jonathan, do you think they can get this? You think so? Now, how many here, you really like deep theology? I mean, you really want to know God and all of his depth and his height, right? Yeah? You really do? Yeah? Oh, yeah?
Sure.
Okay. You think they can, eh? No, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Because this is quite questionable, okay? How many wings does an eagle have?
Two.
Two? Somebody said two. Yeah. Anybody else?
Tail comb.
Are you going for three? I got two. Maybe three. I don't know. You'll go three. Okay, we got two and three. How many was three? Two. You're not really sure. How many am I sure? You were sure. Oh, I got it.
Oh, you got scared to death to answer.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. How many say three? How many say two? Oh, there was a few less all of a sudden. How many say four?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. You see, life is so complicated sometimes. Usually when I ask that question, most people go, well, two. Yeah. But that's probably a trick question. And you know, we do the same thing with life. Even an eagle knows he has two wings. I mean, God, it's simple. Okay? Now, God says, we are like eagles. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, the obstacles, instead of beating your head against them, you will rise up.
Yeah.
And you'll be like eagles. You can fly along with the Himalayas. And pretty soon, you look down on your problem, that thing that was stopping you, and it ain't so big anymore, is it?
Mm-hmm, that's right. God take your book.
What's your wings? It's very simple. The Word and the Spirit.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us has it.
Yeah.
We're equipped with this. We've got it. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Word.
Yeah.
The Bible. Well, the Bible, really, if you read the Word of God, who is the Word of God?
Jesus.
You know that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it just any religious leader?
No.
Jesus is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So it's good to have that way. Yeah. Hey, you got your Bible?
Yeah.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Lift it up. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Well, there's a few here. Come on. I know this is simple. Oh, this is so simple. Yeah, that's right. It's simple. The problems in your life, God wants to make them simpler. He wants to cut through by the Word and the Spirit. What happened to Solomon? They brought him a very difficult problem. Whose child is this? The one mother says, it's mine. The other says, it's mine. Both of them look like mothers. Yeah. How is he going to tell who's the real mother? Bring me a sword. What's this? The sword of the Spirit. Okay. Bring me a sword. Cut the baby in half, the living one in half. Now, I'm sure everybody else is going, what? How can he do that? He knew exactly what he was doing. See, he wanted to bring revelation. He didn't want to just hear the one mom say, that's mine, and the other mom say, that's mine, and them argue about it, and then him bring down a decision. He wanted a revelation. And so as the sword was ready to come and split the child into the living child, the one mother, she said, oh yeah, go ahead, at least I'll get half. And the other mother said, no, the real mother said, no. Yeah. And at that point of crisis, the revelation came. He says, give the child to her. That's the real mother. And we need something more than the wisdom of Solomon today. And we have it, but do you use it? Okay? The Word of God. When it comes right down to it, do you know the blessing of this record of the Word of God? Now, the record of the Word of God means it's all about Jesus. I really believe that if we really come to know God, you can open up every page and you'll see Jesus.
Sure.
It's not just the last book of the Bible that's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Every book in your life, every page in your life, God wants it to be a revelation.
Yeah.
A revelation of His love, a revelation of His faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah! Do you know him?
Yeah.
Do you know that the Word of God is greater than any obstacle that you have in your life right now or you will ever encounter? I don't know what you're facing right now, but I know the Word of God. It's not just a remedy. It's more than. It's a more than solution. It's a revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know what you just said?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of a Christian cliche? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, there's a beautiful verse. It says, all the promises of God. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yep.
All the promises. Hold them up. Come on. Mm-hmm. Hold them up. I want to involve you. You've been sitting too long in the kootenays. All the promises. Well, that's about half of you. Can you believe that there's half of you?
Amen.
You know, I'm not up here to entertain you or to preach. I'm here to activate.
Yeah.
Now, an eagle cannot rise up. He cannot mount up by sitting on his wings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great truth. That is a great truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to rise up. So take your word with you.
Yeah.
Come on. Take the word of God. I don't know what you're facing right now, but the word of God is bigger than this, and he wants to speak to you. And he wants to reveal himself, not just to you, but through you. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, well, 2 Corinthians 1:12, he said it again. He says, all the promises.
Oh, God.
Yes. Wave it up. All the promises in him are yes and amen. Okay, that's your second wing, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Second wing, the spirit. You test this out when you go home. Spirit wing. Okay? You see, the promises are here. The spirit says yes, and we say
amen.
Amen.
It's covenant.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Mm.
See, we take so much for granted, and so then we walk in ignorance,
mm-hmm.
and we stumble. And we fall. And we don't rise up above the obstacles. When God makes an opportunity, we begin to curse the devil. When really we should be seeking the Lord's will in this and counting that his word is greater than that obstacle that we're facing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that his spirit together, word and spirit, simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
You take the will of God, the word of God,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit says,
amen.
All the promises, and the spirit says,
amen.
Yes, but we say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you agree with the word of God?
Yeah.
Do you agree with your friends all the time?
No.
No. We need to learn to agree with our Heavenly Father. You see, there's beautiful things all the way through this. Jesus had both wings.
Mm-hmm.
See, some of us, we just try to fly with one wing. There are whole churches that are word-centered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it becomes a sword, and they have sword fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the other wing.
Yeah.
And they're the chaos maniacs. I can say that because I'm one of them. Okay?
Yep.
And it's everything about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit.
Yep.
Okay? The word without the Spirit is dry, dead legalism.
Yeah.
The Spirit without the Word is a license to do whatever we think we want.
Yep. Yep.
A license. It's like, forgive me, Father, for the sin that I'm about ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's presumptuous. It's like a ditch. Jesus is the way of liberty, but legalism is a ditch on one side, and license is a ditch on the other side. And instead of walking in liberty, we either get on one wing or the other, extremists,
mm-hmm.
to the expense of both wings. And legalism doesn't work after a while, so we jump into the license ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Or license into the legalistic ditch. I lived here in the Kootenays. There's two ditches on either side of the road. I see people spiritually jumping from one ditch to another and counting it, calling it walking in the Spirit. No, it's stumbling from ditch to ditch. God wants us to rise up. Hello?
Yeah.
Take both. You ever seen an eagle fly, you know, with one wing down and one wing up? See, if you do this, it's very confusing. I'm a word person. You go around in a circle. I'm a spirit person. Oh, the word and the spirit together, it becomes a revelation.
Yeah.
Now, then God raises us up. Mm. It's His wind under our wings that makes us to be an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You don't have to flap about it. There's a lot of flapping in the kingdom of God. And Jesus had both wings. They were called grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just grace, and it's not just truth. John 1:18. I'm sure some of you have read it, have you not? Now, haven't you got to know Jesus in this way? It's right in the first chapter. He's full of grace. That's spirit.
Yeah.
And truth. Mm-hmm. That's the word. Now, we heard last night that faith works by
love.
There's camps of faith. Oh, what's the matter with you, brother? You haven't got enough faith. You know? And then there's the love, love, love. All you need is love. You might as well join John Lennon's church. Yeah. You know, we divide in these kind of camps. So you ask an eagle, do you need a faith wing and a love wing? Yeah, gumbo. Tower rise up. What kind of worshipers is God looking for?
Spirit and truth.
Really? Spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can sing. Now, he's not just talking about worshipers during the worship service when you're singing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But even a song, look at something as basic as a song. What's it made up of? Words and melody.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit and word together.
Mm-hmm.
There's something powerful about a song. Revelation says, and they sang a new song. What song are you singing?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been singing the same songs ever since you got born again? It's time to sing a new song. It's so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of the gifts of the Spirit is a song of the Lord, like we heard again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And God was singing a message. He was singing truth. But he was singing it in a way, some of you won't remember the words, but you'll remember the melody. Some of you won't remember the melody, but you'll remember the words. What were the words?
I'm a child of God.
Huh? That's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's something about that. It rings in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it renews your mind. Mm-hmm. And so when the enemy comes along and says, yeah, you're not your child of God. Yeah. You have not got it together. You haven't been able to walk. Follow Jesus. Look at you. You're a mess.
Right.
Unless you know this truth in your spirit and you worship God with all that is in you, that doesn't mean you've got it all together. That means that everything you are, you just lay it out in the open.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
After a while, you see this revelation, it shows up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
What inherits the promises?
Faith
and
patience
inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:10, I think. It's not just faith. Oh, I got to have more faith. You know, it's not for you to drum it all up. You got to have a right spirit about it. Patience. How many of us are naturally impatient? Yeah, well, that's your spirit God's working on.
Yeah.
And this is how you can actually be led by the Spirit. This is how you can learn to mount up and be an overcomer in the midst of your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Not God change my circumstances. He says, no, I want to change you. You're my child. I want to grow you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can start with, I'm a child of God, but I want to make you a man. I want to make you a woman of God. That's going to take some time. And you can't say, oh, well, that's enough, Lord. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is all the way through. It started with creation. How did God create the whole universe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go right to Genesis 1.
Brooding it says, the Spirit.
Darkness was on the face of the deep. It was void. And what was happening?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God was hovering. Well, hovering means to me that there's a presence there.
Yeah.
Yeah? Spirit's there right in verse 1. And what did he do? He spoke. What did he say?
Let there be
light. Let there be light. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? In 2-3 verses, he created this whole universe. And you and I are hitting up our heads against the obstacle that we're facing. And God says, he actually uses this picture, this metaphor of Big Daddy Eagle. He says, I took Israel out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Mm-hmm. Wow, did he do that literally? Of course not. He took them out by his word and his spirit. Okay? That's how he created. Well, of course, man fell. He gave him a garden, but man turned his back on it, on the tree of life. And man said, well, I got a better way. Oh, really? The rest of the Bible is all about showing that his better way is not a way at all. Mm-hmm. And then, in fact, he needs a Savior. That's what it's all about. You and I need a Savior. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? Yeah. Yeah, to come to the end of yourself and to know that you and I can't do it. What a revelation that is. He says, him that overcomes will I give. Okay, will I make to mount up. Okay? Now, it's not up to your strength. Oh, I'm an overcomer. He's not an overcomer. No, no, no. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In me you have peace. Yeah. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
God gave that to me for you last night in a song.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? Do you know the context of it? John 16:33, right before John 17, the prayer in the garden, just before Jesus is arrested, just before he goes to the cross. Mm-hmm. What an amazing revelation. He says, I have overcome the world. He didn't say it on resurrection day. He said it on the day before he went to the cross. Yeah. What's your confession the day before you faced the greatest obstacle in your life?
Come on. Yep.
You know, hindsight, that's real good. Hind confession. That's real good. God is looking for overcomers. Now, an overcomer, he says, is I have overcome the world. An overcomer is one who puts his faith in the one who has overcome.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So what's our word win?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus has overcome. Mm-hmm. What's our spirit win? We know the Holy Spirit couldn't come until Jesus Christ was seated on the throne.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This beautiful picture of the fullness of our salvation. You know, all those 4,000 years, the universe was waiting. Psalm 2 says that the King is there. God the Father, the Ancient of Days and Daniels, whatever name he has all through the Old Testament. But he's waiting for the throne to be filled. The nations rage. The kings of the earth are trying this and trying that. And what does God do? He laughs. Psalm 2. He laughs. He says, I have set my king on Zion.
Yeah, yeah.
Behold, my son. I've begotten you. Mm-hmm. I have given you the nations for your inheritance. He sees this already. 1,000 years beforehand. It's written. And then when Jesus comes, and he stretches out his wings. Behold, Malachi says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us are trying to fly, but we've got broken wings.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to heal wings.
Yeah.
He wants to heal wings here tonight. I know there are broken wings here. And you've had people come in and say, come on, you can fly. Yes, you can fly, but you need healing first. I'm going to share a bit of my testimony about that. How God healed my broken wings. But I found, first of all, that people need to see this powerful metaphor, that it's a lot simpler than you and I think. It's just in taking the word of God and letting the Spirit say yes. And we say,
amen.
We say,
amen.
Amen.
Okay. this is covenant. This is the new covenant, saints.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is not some, well, I'll do my part if you do your part.
Mm-hmm.
No marriage would ever work like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither does the new covenant. He's already done his part.
Yes.
He gave 100%. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When he hung on the cross, what did he say?
It's finished.
Yeah. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what would you say on that cross? Father, fry them. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they did it to me.
Yeah.
And I'm your son.
Yeah.
Do something about this if you're God.
Yeah.
But Jesus went through the whole process for the joy that was set before him. What's the joy? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame.
Mm-hmm.
For the joy, you and I are the joy. Mm-hmm. Come on, look around.
Yeah.
Look at the person next to you. Maybe that person, you've got a problem with that person. It's time for you to forgive. No, maybe you've got a person for the Christian down the street. You know, that's one thing I found in the Kootenays. In the time I was in the Kootenays, unforgiveness was a very big thing.
That's right.
I was part of a camp one time that was the judgmental Christians. They actually had a float in the Nelson July 1st parade. And this float was a pickup with, maybe some of you remember it, with boards on either side and red paint, judgment. And, oh, God is coming, and he's an angry God, and he's going to take care of you. And, you know, up until that time, the bands were coming and the kids were dancing and that. And then this float came and everything was... nobody said a thing. And I was kind of like, wow. Am I a part of that? And then you know what they did? They parked it in front of the... one of the cafes. I don't think it's there anymore. Right on Queen Street. Is it Queen Street?
Baker
Street. Yeah, it's the Queen Hotel. Queen's Hotel. Okay. And they parked it right in front of the restaurant. They went in and drank coffee and watched the people as they walked by. They saw the scene. And they shuddered. And nobody, they laughed. Nobody went out to talk to the people.
Mm.
That's part of what you're dealing with here. That's a word wing with the wrong spirit.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the other side. Well, you know, we shouldn't condemn them and what they're doing. No, love them. Just love them. No. Faith and love.
Mm-hmm.
Judge, the whole picture of the Ark of the Covenant is mercy triumphs over judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Overcomers. That's what God's looking for. You got your wings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got your wings?
Yes.
See, that's what God did in creation. That's what he did in redemption. He brought Jesus into the world. You know the story. It's in all four of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't done a thing that was really recorded. Oh, age 12, he went up to the temple and mom and dad lost him. Can you imagine losing God?
Yeah. I've done it.
Looked for him all those days. You know, finally found him in the temple. He says, didn't you know that I'd be about my father's business?
Mm-hmm.
But here he comes, 30 years old, good young Jewish boy. But he hasn't done one thing. He hasn't done any great ministry. Hasn't preached any great sermons. Hasn't done any miracles. You know, there's so many Christians I find that they find their identity in what they do. And they don't do very well, so they end up in a lot of do-do. Yeah? And so we spend our time trying to get out of the do-do. That's not an overcomer.
Yeah.
It's just working your way deeper into the quicksand. So here Jesus comes, and he comes to John the Baptist, and he says, baptize me, John. John says, you should baptize me. No. Let it be for righteousness' sake. There's something more I'm going to see here. That you're going to see here. So the scripture is very clear. What happened? They went into the water.
Yep.
They came out. Now, this is not just one of the things that happened to Jesus. This is his introduction to the world. This is like, here he is. The one that God has been preparing 4,000 years for. All of the prophecies, all of the promises are in him. Here he comes. When they come up out of the water, what happens? A dove hovering over the void. And the dove is a symbol of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. You don't have to scratch your eyes and ears about it. It's very clear. The Scripture says it. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit is there. And then what happens?
The Word.
The Word. You got it. See, it's that simple. The Spirit and the Word. And what does he say? Who is it, first of all? Or was it just a voice?
Father.
Ah, this is my son, my beloved son. Now, if somebody's saying this is my beloved son, that means that's his father.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a great leap of reasoning.
Yeah.
The Father says, this is my beloved son. Mm-hmm. Not just son, but my beloved son. Mm-hmm. In whom I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yep.
Yes.
The Word and the Spirit. Now, sometimes God will start with the Spirit and sometimes with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he starts with the Spirit, then he'll confirm it with the Word. If he starts with the Word, he'll confirm it by the Spirit. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. How many of you have walked since the day you were born?
Mm-hmm. No.
No. There was a time when you were just crawling around on all fours. And some of us continue to do that as Christians, singing, I am a child of God. It's time to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I grow up? Ah, I got 2 weeks for you. You want 2 more weeks? We sang about them tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How many are hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, eat it.
Yeah.
Devour it.
Yes.
Man, that first winter that I was a Christian and I was out there, I had no electricity, I had running water right outside the door, yeah? You know, I didn't have all the niceties of life. Because I had no electricity, I couldn't plug my stereo set in and play my 280 albums. So I gave my stereo set away. And then I gave my albums away on Baker Street, my Roy Orbison album. It's okay, Ted. You had to do that too,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere on the line, because the lamb was slain, you can offer up whatever else is in the way.
Yeah.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Are you really hungry?
Yes. Yes.
Are you really hungry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you thirsty? Come on, spirit way,
yes.
Word way.
Yes.
How many want to rise up? How many eagles we got here? You see, there's an identity tug here going on. Some of you find your identity in what you do. God wants you to find your identity in him. And that is a great gulf. And a lot of people are struggling to get over it. I find this in the Kootenays. Because there's lots of mountains and valleys. And we spend our time down in the valleys, either hiding from them or trying to get to the mountaintop so we can see. And it's deception. Because that is not who you are just because you climb the highest mountain or you probe the deepest valley.
Yeah.
Because the height of God and the depth of God will always be further than you and I can ever go. And so he wants you to trust him. To learn to trust him. And that's a simple, except you become as a little child. What? He just told us to grow up. Now he wants us to be like little children. Exactly. It's a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paradox of both ways. Of rising up.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're an eagle of God and not a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Too many chickens in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
They got one wing. They're going. Somebody does something to them in church. You know, we react. And we react with a squawk. Yeah. Eagles don't squawk. And you know, I did a real study on chickens in Nepal last month when I was there. I watched these chickens in my yard. You got chickens. Mm-hmm. They spend all their lifetime pecking with their faces to the ground. They don't look up. Because they're totally dependent on their next meal. Their next piece that they're going to find. And so they're constantly looking downwards and pecking for an existence. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, no, you're my eagle. You're not a chicken. How many are you tired? Yeah. You tired? I hope you're tired. If you're a chicken, I hope you're tired of being a chicken. Because the Bible says you are not a chicken, you're an eagle. Hello? Yeah. And I've made you to mount up. Yeah. It says all the promises in Him, in Jesus Christ, are yes and amen. So when He rose out of the waters, and He went into the wilderness, and He took on the devil, how did He defeat the devil? With the word, it is written. Where is it written? Is it written in your heart? Is it written in your mind? Is it really renewed? Are you really? Or do you revert to your chickenness? Okay, that's broken. You can't go back there. You can't go back there as an individual. You cannot go back there as a church. I say at church. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church in the Kootenays, because it's time for eagles to rise up in the Kootenays. You see eagles naturally. Those are God's signs right here. God sends them in to stir up your jealousy. I can do that. I want to be like that. Well, the good news is you are. But you got to take the Word and the Spirit. The Word of what He's spoken of, who Jesus is, and the Spirit that reveals Him for who He is, even now, even right here. Can God speak to right here now in the Kootenays?
Yes.
Is He speaking?
Yes.
Do you hear Him? Well, rise up.
Yeah.
Rise up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not time yet. Oh, yeah? It's now. It's now.
Yes, it's now.
In fact, it's now, because some of you can't fly. You can't mount up because you need healing. You need your wings healed. Brad. Scott.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
You don't believe the words? Not really. Now when it comes right down to it, when it comes right down to you're up against an obstacle, can you call out, Father? Or do you go, oh crap? I knew it wouldn't work. What didn't work? This isn't about what works. It's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is secure and releasing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's simple, but it's not easy. It's going to cost you everything that you are. Everything that you've had. It's going to cost you your friends. You know, when I got saved, it cost me. But that which I had received in Christ was so much more, it didn't even matter. So God wants to come, and He wants you to identify with Jesus Christ. when he was baptized. This is a real time of healing. I'm asking God to come. And it's not, well, what is my neighbor doing? It's between you and your Heavenly Father. Well, maybe you don't know him as your Heavenly Father. Not really. You know, evangelicals, we're really good at, it's all about Jesus. You know, you get saved, I got my ticket, and Pentecostals, it's all about the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues, and but really, it's the Father. There's a triunity. It's the Father. What's your relationship with the Father? Jesus came to reveal the Father. And that's what he did at his baptism. Put your word away. God wants you to hear the words that he spoke over his son that day. And because we are now in Christ, those same words have truth to us. In Jesus Christ, we are his sons. Daughters. That's what the word says. It's not just one of the by effects. It is the major thing that Jesus came. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. So many sons and daughters would come. That's where it starts, by being born again. And God wants you to hear right now the Father's words to you. Behold, this is my beloved Son. Okay, now, to be gender correct here, ladies, women, that includes you. The son is a generic term. We're not, you know, God's not being, he's not being partial to men. That's my sons and my daughters, who I love with all my heart. Now, maybe you've never heard this before. You never heard your father say, I love you. Many people pattern how they see their Heavenly Father by how they've known their natural fathers. And that has given them a stereotype, and they put that on right away. And because their fathers maybe were absent or even abusive with their words or even more, then they can't really conceive of a Heavenly Father who loves them. But right now, God wants to break through that and heal. So he wants you to hear these words. Behold, my son, my daughter, who I love with all of my heart. I love you so much. I sent my son Jesus for you. And he took all of that pain. He took all of that abuse. He took it on himself so that you can be free. I love you so much. I've got a purpose in your life. When I see you, my heart overjoys. Receive it now. See, this is like breathing. How many of you breathed since we came in here? Did you have to think about it? No? You just take it in? Come on, this is breathing class. Take it in. Now, what's the object of breathing? How long you can hold it? No! You give it out. Okay, it's the same way. With both wings. You take it in, you receive, and you give it out. Some of you really need to receive. You're tired of giving. You gotta know how to take it back in. Come on, breathe it in. Breathe it in the Father's love. Yeah, my son, my daughter. I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased. Wow. Some of you have never heard that, received that from your Heavenly Father. Yeah. And then give it out.
Both arms. Both wings. Receiving and giving it out. It's called praise. Who are you?
Well, I teach a Father's Heart Seminar, and this is the whole culmination of it. Basically, who am I? I'm a child of God. Hello? Who are you? I'm a child of God. Now put it up there. That's my word wing. I'm a child of God. Come on, say it. I'm a child of God. Spirit wing. I got a Father who loves me. I got a Father who loves me. Come on, say it. I got a Father. Because that's the truth. That's what Jesus had right from the beginning of his ministry. You and I never had that. But now we do. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Who are you? But I am a child of God. Yeah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Ho! Oh. But I am a child of God. Yeah, in Christ Jesus, I am. Who are you? I'm no longer.
God right now is rising up in your midst. And you, as his son and daughter, your heavenly Father is rising up in the midst of his church. It's my church, says the Lord. It's not so-and-so's church and so-and-so's church. Jesus said, it's my church and I will build my church. I'm not looking for people who are so gifted that they can outdo this and outdo that. I'm looking for sons and daughters. I'm not looking for your performances. I break those off right now in Jesus' name. I know this is very pertinent today. Some of us were talking together about church here in the 50s. And all of a sudden it came to me. So many divisions in these valleys. And they all say that they're brothers. You can only be brothers and sisters if you acknowledge a common Father. And you walk before your Father with what He has revealed to you. Too many people have been doing church, but they haven't let Christ build His church. And that's the foundation of sons and daughters who are brothers and sisters acknowledging one Father. And receive and walk with one another in that revelation. All the promises in Him. Be seated. I'm going to share a few more minutes. I want to share about the tree of life. The second part. Overcomers, I'll give you the tree of life. Thank you. As I said, I came to this valley. I was very lost. I did not know where I was going. I was a young hippie. There was a lot of us here back then. But I was looking for the truth. And I didn't know what the truth was. I found out truth is a person, but I didn't know that. I thought truth is an idea. My idea, my truth is just as good as your idea and your truth. They taught me that in university. They taught me a lot of things in university, but by the time I got out of university, I was so confused that I didn't want to read another textbook. I wanted life. I wanted something that was beyond just my understanding is better than your understanding. And I could debate with the best of them. But I lost heart. Because somehow I knew that wasn't where it was at. So I came here to Nelson. And I got a job. Wow. Job in the 70s. My job was in the post office to count as much mail as came into and went out of the Nelson post office. I would do this on 2-3 hour shifts every day. And I was very diligent for the first day. I would keep track, 1, 2, 3, 4, and up to 100, write that down, another 100, bring it in again, another 100. Until the shop steward came in, took a great big bunch like this, and wrote down 783. I'm 700. You can't do that. He says, oh, yes, I can. Because, you see, this is a make work program. And you're only here. I mean, come on. Forget it, kid. There's no purpose to your job. This is happening all in every post office throughout the Canada. And everybody's inflating their counts. So if you know what's good for you, you'll do it too. So I got really good at it. They wheel in a great big bunch of letters. And I go, 3,845. And then I go off and I read some magazines. They called me the Count. The Count of Nelson. I mean, wow, what a position, right? Well, in 3 months, the Count was out of a job. And I was pretty low. And it's kind of like, what is going on here? But I always believed there was a truth. And, I'm going to find it somehow. Somehow, and you know, maybe I had to smoke a little more dope, maybe drink a little more booze, you know, I forget about myself. I actually hitchhiked across North Africa reading the Quran, thinking that was the truth. They had told me on the steps of the UBC library that communism was the truth. Remember back then communism was the big boogeyman? Yeah, okay. Well, we went through Hungary.
And that was a communist country. I was there for about 3 weeks. My friend and I, we were walking out. I says, man, this is 20 years before the Berlin Wall come down. I said, it's only a matter of time this whole thing's coming down. I was no great prophet. I just saw, there's so many miserable people here. That's not the truth. Nobody smiles. Nobody has joy. And so, yeah, I picked up the Quran and I tried to read the Quran. And anybody ever read the Quran? Now Islam is the big boogeyman. You know, well, back in the 70s, I thought, well, I'm going to find out what it was. And I read the surahs and I read about Muhammad. And wow, like, it was really troubling. It was so confusing. And I read it straight and I read it stoned. And it was still, I mean, it was more confusing than ever. And I thought the problem was me. And so then I go to Israel. That was kind of my goal at that time. I took my little Sunday school Bible with me. And I went to the top of Mount Sinai and I read about Moses giving the law one morning. And then in Galilee, I went to the top of the Sermon on the Mount and I read Jesus preaching the sermon. And wow, that's good. And then in the afternoon, I'd read about Siddhartha and some Buddhist scripture about looking for nothing. They were all equal. Like, the truth is relative, right? No, I was looking for that first brick. That would then lead to another brick, and then a second, and a third. And then I would break through the clouds of ignorance, and I'd be able to weave to God and say, hey, God, I'm in it. Aren't you proud of me? See, I was looking for pride. I was trying to make myself my own God. A lot of people try to do that. That's what you're doing with your own works. I just didn't realize it. Well, I was no longer count. So I went to Velican Fair or something like that one day. And, on the way, when I was going to Israel, I came back unsaved. You can actually go to the Holy Land and come back unsaved. I came back more miserable. But I stopped in Athens and I picked up my cross. I was a pilgrim, right? Every pilgrim should have a cross. Well, that isn't really what the Lord was saying. Pick up your cross and follow me. But in my state, that's what I figured, right? Well, I was at this arts and crafts fair, and I had a beautiful sunny day, and my shirt off, and there was my cross. And I'm looking at some stained glass window there, and I'm aware of somebody else looking at this stained glass window. And we both said at the same time, oh, that is so beautiful. And we turned to one another. It turned out to be my friend Grizzle. That I met a year or so before, and she saw my cross. She said, oh, Henry, are you a Christian? And I gave her the response that I had come up with before that people were introduced to that. I try to be.
Oh.
Isn't that a noble response?
Yeah.
I try to be a Christian. You might as well try to be an elephant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were, what you are is a result of what you try to be. We're all in tough shape. Come on. Who are you?
I'm a child of God.
Come on. It's by the grace of Jesus Christ, right? Well, I didn't know that. I try to be, and until that time, every time I give that response, people go, oh. That's pretty good. This friend, she went, oh. And I go, what? Oh, yeah, Henry. Since we saw one another, I've become a born-again Christian, and God has been doing all these things. I'm like, well, wait a minute, stop, Grizzle. You know, you should come out to my place, and, you know, we have Bible study out there, and, you know, up in the Silicon Valley. Oh, okay. All right, I'll come one night. And I did, and I tried to impress them with my latest philosophical insight, and they weren't impressed. And, I do remember one thing. At their meeting they started that night, and they probably weren't very strong Christians, I don't know, but they asked somebody to lead the meeting, the Holy Spirit. And I remember there was such peace throughout the meeting. Well, I'm looking for that first brick of the truth, and the Guru Maharaji people came to town. How many of you were back in the 70s here? And do you remember them?
Yeah.
Now, this is not the guy of the Transcendental Meditations with the white beard. Okay, this is this young 16-year-old guy who says he's the latest incarnation of God. And he's got the perfect knowledge. I'm looking for that knowledge. I'm looking for that truth. And he says he's got it, and he's the perfect master, and he's got it. Jesus was the perfect master with the perfect knowledge in his day, and he gave it to 12 people. Now, this guru is giving it to whoever he wants. I'm going, wow, that's for me. So I go to his meeting. He wasn't there. They had videos, but they had his Mahatmas and his premies, and they were doing the band and all the music to catch people in and that. It was new agey, and it was everything all muddled together. And I was doing well until the guru came on the video. And all of a sudden I had this, it's not in my stomach. Oh, I had to take off, so I got out of there, smoked a joint, came back in. I thought that would make it all better, right? No, it was worse. Oh, there's really something matter with me here. Well, a couple weeks later, they have an ashram out on the Kootenai Lake. I don't know if it's still there. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go there. And so I go to this meeting with a friend. And we're the only two non-initiates there. And they start this meeting. There's kind of like a little platform like this with a chair decorated as a throne with a picture of the Mahatma on it. And people are doing their thing. And then somebody, if they wanted to have the floor, they come up here and they bow down. They turn around. And everybody would pay their respect and their attention to him. Nobody would say a thing. And he'd open their eyes. They'd open their eyes and then they'd begin to speak. So this one girl, she did this, and she opened her eyes, and she says, well, you know, it's, wow, you know, this is so good, and the knowledge is really good, you know? I go, lady, get it together, I don't know, and you're not helping me. And she went through her thing, and then after her, the last guy came, and he did the routine, he opened his eyes, and he looked right at me. And he said, since I've received the knowledge of the Guru Maharaj, this is the best yet. He had my attention. He says, yeah, I grew up in a nominal Christian family until I was, I went to university, studied history. That's why I studied. Did my degree, but I really didn't, you know, I couldn't go with such people, what people said. I wanted to find out. So I picked up my pack sack. That's what I did. I went to Eastern Europe and find out about communism. And then I hitchhiked across North Africa, read the Quran. Then I went to Israel. That's me. What are you talking about? You're talking right to me. And by that time, he had me on the floor. And so then he finishes it off, and I run up to him and I says, I need that perfect knowledge. I need it. He says, well, yeah, I'd like to. Can we talk more? Yeah, I'd like to, but his wife had to go somewhere. And he says, well, this was Sunday night. Come Tuesday night. And this happened just down the road, 42 years ago. He says, come over Tuesday night and we'll talk more. But you know, if you're really hungry for the truth, yeah, well, I was a little impatient. I wanted it then. But you can also ask the questions, whatever questions you have. The truth, the real truth, will answer it, right? Yeah, I wanted to know. But I had this one problem, was with the guru. So I went up to some of the premies and I says, you know, I got this problem with your leader. I figured that if I receive his gift, I receive the person too. And I can't hack the guru. And they kind of looked. They got into a little football huddle. And after a couple of minutes, one of them stood up and said, oh, that's okay, neither can we. What? See, it's okay to lie when you're getting somebody into a cult.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you ever been there. Okay? But that's what they were trying to do. Well, I was very impatient and discouraged about that. The next day, I went up to see my friend Grizzle. She lived out in Gallatin. Oh, no, Appledale. Yeah. Went to Appledale. And, I knew that she had become a preemie before she'd become a born-again Christian. So she knew the whole system of how to get in it. You know, a lot of people have systems. Your Christians have systems. Instead of the new covenant where God wants us just to walk with him, we kind of like, oh, okay, show me the steps here. And if I can agree with the steps, then I'll walk according to it. Show me the rules. That's old covenant. That's not life. So I went out and I found her in her garden. It was September 2nd, Labor Day. And she was pulling up Brussels sprouts. And she was sitting there holding these upside down, dangling. And I said, Grizzle, tell me about how to receive this perfect knowledge. I want this. I need this. And she said, oh, Henry, you don't need that. Well, what do you mean? I do. This is that brick I'm looking for. And this is my last chance. And then she exposed this system for what it was for. It was really nothing. It was a bunch of senses. Just playing on your senses. And by the time she was finished, I felt like one of her Brussels sprouts. And she was dangling me upside down. And I had no roots. And it was really painful, and I was angry. In fact, I was furious inside. She left me hanging there for a while, and then finally she says, oh, come with me, I've got something for you. I'm protesting inside, but finally, when you're at the end of yourself, you're ready, right? So I says, okay. So we went to her A-frame house. Very simple house. Inside, table, nothing on it but a Bible. She said, pick it up and read. Pick it up and read? She says, yeah. I says, where? In the beginning, she says. That's a good place to start. I said, in the beginning. And I'm saying inside, I know all these Bible school stories. I'm at the crisis of my life, and you want me to go back to Bible school, Sunday school stories. I'm beyond that, surely. I want to know. But I stopped for us, you know, kicking against it, and I picked it up and started to read, and sure enough, it said in the beginning, God. And we went through the 7 days of creation. I thought I knew it all until I got to chapter 2. And then in chapter 2, it says, and God, in the midst of the creation, planted a garden. He put man there, and he made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which tree was in the middle?
Life.
But there's another tree of knowledge. Yeah. And when I read that word, it was just like, boom. Hit me like that brick I was looking for. Oh. Now, I didn't remember too much about that tree of knowledge, except I didn't think it was a very good tree. I think, wow, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of pain that came out of that tree. Well, maybe I don't know it all, so I kept on reading. And I got into chapter 3, and this is how it kind of spoke to me in hippie jargon. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. The snake showed up, and he says, Eve, wow, fancy meeting you here. What a beautiful garden you got. Oh, yeah, it is nice, isn't it? Wow, it's so beautiful. I bet you can... You got everything here, don't you? Oh, yeah. You can do anything, can't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Is there anything you can't do? Oh, wait a minute. There is one thing. It's that tree over there. And as soon as she pointed to the tree of knowledge, she was off balance. She lost her wings. Because she was not focused on the center. She was focused on the peripheral. She was focused on the outside. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, oh, what's the matter with that tree? Oh, well, he says, if we eat of it or even touch it, we'll die. Oh, really? Come on. Die? Nobody's ever died before. What's this death thing? Don't you know why he doesn't want you to eat from that tree? Because if you eat from that tree, you'll be just like him, and you won't need him anymore. You'll be a god yourself. Oh, really? Well, look at it. And the hippie says, if it feels good, do it. So she did it. She ate and she gave her husband to eat of it. Genesis 3, verse 6. when I read that verse, when she saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and desirous to make one wise, she took of the food, ate it, and gave to her husband. When I finished reading that book, all of a sudden, I died. I can't explain it all. It's just, I tried to keep on reading, and it was like, I could not read anymore. Now I'm going, what is the matter here? And it's like, I didn't understand it all, but I saw that was the tree that I'd been eating of all my life, and it was a tree of death. And that's what it was producing. And it was like somebody took a giant corkscrew to the bottom of my soles of my feet and started, my life started to just drain out. I hardly could able to stand there. I had to lean up against the table. This went on for a couple of minutes. I got embarrassed. I thought, oh, I mean, I ran out of words. I'm stumbling around here. Please excuse me. I've got to go and tell these people that I'm going to take care of their goat farm. Bye. Thank you. I'm into my car. I've got to drive a couple of miles. And all the while, it's just draining. I get to the place, their farm down the road, and the people aren't there. And I see there's a pathway going up through the forest. Thank you for your patience. I'm so thankful I can share this here.
Thank you.
It's the first time I've ever been able to share this here.
Awesome. Thank you.
I believe this is just a part of what God wants to do in people's lives supernaturally. I did not understand this. I saw the trail going up through the trees. I thought, oh, maybe there's a neighbor up there. Maybe that's where they are. Let's follow. So I went up. Beautiful sunny day, but it was dark in the forest. All the while, draining. I get out to the top of this meadow. And I took a step out of the trees. And all of a sudden, this wave of sunlight hit me. And went right through me to the bottom of my feet and reversed and went like this. And all of a sudden, picked me up and I started running. And I'm running through this field. And I'm going, ho, 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 and I'm starting to go, shandarabakuya namataya namataya. And I'm going, what is this all about? And I'm doing cartwheels and somersaults. And I'm filled with a joy and overflowing such as I've never known before. And after a few minutes, I want to pinch myself and come back to reality. And then I thought, no, this is better than my reality before. Let it go. And so this carried on a few more minutes. If anybody saw me, they would have thought it was crazy, for sure. And I was. I was crazy now. Crazy to the world. Because I didn't know it, but something was happening inside me. I got back down to the place. They still weren't there. I know where they are. Valakan Hole. That was the day they opened it up as a new craft fair or something. So that's where they are. So I get in the car. And I have to drive at least half an hour to get there. And all the while, it's coming. I'm going, who's in this car? And this is going on for over half an hour. I get to the place. I see the people who are there that I'm looking for. But the first one I see is my friend who has been on this journey with me. Whenever we smoked dope, whenever we drank, it was all about looking for the truth. He should have been 30 miles the other way, me 30 miles, all of a sudden there we are. I hear this voice inside me say, Henry, go tell him what has happened. And I go, happened? I'm a blabbering idiot. What am I supposed to say? Just simple obedience. I go up to him. I say, Bob! Birds go up in the air. My wings go up. See, I got my wings. I've given up the pursuit of knowledge, and I found the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on. Wow. That's good.
He says, what? I heard my own words. See, the Spirit had done the work. Then the words came out of my own mouth.
Yeah.
I've given up the pursuit of knowledge, and I found the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here I am. I was a one-wing nut. Looking for knowledge, looking for the truth, and I found love. See, that's how many of us, you've got two wings. Some of you are truth seekers. You need the Spirit of God. I don't understand why people fight against the Spirit. I don't know why people argue against the Word. In God, there's unity.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people argue against some ministry, a move of the Spirit that they don't understand. Mm-hmm. But they fight against it. But in God, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who are you?
A child of God.
Well, then your brother who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's a child of God too.
That's right.
Yes,
it's time for us to receive it.
Yeah.
That's called the tree of life.
Yeah.
Too many of us have a tree of knowledge
of
good and evil at the center of our garden.
Yeah.
And we judge one another's fruit.
Mm.
And God says, that does not glorify me. Go back to the garden. He who overcomes, it's not a fruit of your effort. It's a fruit of the Spirit of my presence in your midst. I will give you to eat of the knowledge of the tree of life. As I said, thank you for your patience. I'm not just here sharing my head knowledge. I've gone 70 countries throughout the world, and I've seen that this is how God is moving. Right now in Nepal and India, there's a powerful move of the Spirit. All they've known is reincarnation, a vicious circle, a cycle that keeps them in death. But when the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes, it breaks right through that cycle, that system of religion, and it's bringing a powerful move of God in these nations right now. It's happening right now. So stop squabbling about what's going on in the Kootenays and get a vision beyond yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Move. Yeah. Move. That's what God said. Move forward.
Yeah.
Move forward. It would be really healthy. It would be really healthy for the churches of this area to take a step beyond themselves. I know there's missions, and you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary.
No.
Just take a step outside the door.
Yeah.
That's the mission field.
Yeah.
Right out there. The unbelievers are watching.
Mm-hmm.
What do they see? A squabbling family. Dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
A child of God.
Who are you?
A child of God.
A child of God.
Yeah.
2 years ago, my wife went missing. She was missing for 88 days. Oh, my God. Yeah. We pastored together for 25 years. Been married for 34 years. I was at the end of myself. Every day, when I would wake up, I would say, Lord, is this the day? Is this the day that you'll bring some kind of resolution? Is this the day then when maybe we will find Erica? And I thank you. Some of you were praying. You knew about this. And the story went all over. Our town, Abbotsford, was captivated with this. People were out looking for Erica that didn't even know us. One lady had her picture. Her picture was all over the place, but she had the picture up on her dashboard. And she was looking for Erica wherever she'd drive. She wrote to me, and she says, I'm looking for somebody, but I'm looking for something. I don't even know what I'm looking for. What am I looking for? And so I got to share Christ with her, and people got saved. She got saved through this.
Mm-hmm.
88 days. I came to my end of myself many times through this. Thank you so much. You pray. I came to a new understanding of endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Endurance. It's one day more than I thought I could yesterday.
Yeah.
That's simple. One day more. That's all. One day more. That's all we got. One day more than we thought we had yesterday. Hallelujah. It's grace, right?
Yeah.
Well, faith and endurance inherit. God had the faith. And many times it was like, oh, I don't know if I can keep on going, Lord. And it's just like, you know, many times people turned away from Jesus, and then he went to the 12 and he says, you're going to go too? And Peter, I love Peter. You know, he'd often open his mouth to stick his foot in it. But, you know, he said, where else can we go? Lord, we've come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have the words from the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And those words from the tree of life, that was, this is my son.
Yeah.
My beloved son.
Yeah.
In whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah.
And that's what he speaks to us, and that's what makes the change.
Mm-hmm.
He not only started 42 years ago, but 2 years ago, he kept me. He kept me going.
Yeah.
And he will keep you going. Why? Because you're his child.
Yeah.
You're his daughter. And he's got a vision for your life beyond yourselves. You are not only a son and daughter, you're not only a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You're an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Not just individually, but the church that is in
Kootenays.
Not just Castlegar, not just Trail. It's time to put behind those divisions. Mm-hmm. Who are you?
A child of God.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really know that?
Yeah.
Or is it, well, no, I go to this church, or no, I believe this. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on the divisions. Don't focus on that tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I just share part of my story. I want you to just take a stand in who you are in Christ. Yeah, put your word wing on.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
I'm a child of God.
Child of God.
Yeah, stand in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply the revelation right now. Stand in that. You're going to get tested in it, I'll tell you. No, right now, the church in the Kootenays is being tested in this, and there's a lot of people taking their stand on something else. You won't stand. You won't stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's the revelation of the Father right now.
Yes.
Of Jesus Christ through us, through you. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I have a Father who loves me.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of
God. I have a Father who loves me. Scott, Brennan, come. Come and bring your healing.
Yeah.
It's only you can. Bring your healing of God to individuals, to your church.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for overcomers here. Thank you for overcomers that mount up. Thank you for overcomers that are not caught in a rut. But Lord, you're breaking them out. Even our own opinions and understandings cause us to grow out of them. To grow beyond them.
Yeah.
Lord, let us take a stand in the tree of life.
Yeah.
The fruit of your spirit.
Yeah.
Which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, strength, all these things in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we break off the effect of the tree of knowledge.
Yes.
Lord, make us so tired of eating of that, that our hunger and our thirst are for you and you alone, and your words of affirmation, your words of truth, your words of life, your words. And I pray the Holy Spirit just come. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Holy Spirit, bring that revelation of who we are. Who we are. I'm a child of God. I'm not perfect, but I got all the parts, and I'm growing to be a man and a woman of God. Yes, and your church is growing in this area, God. It's growing up. It's mounting up. It's not going to revert to all those systems of the past. Not going to go around and around and around in the same things. But the Lord, we will follow you, and you draw us out of these things. Thank you for your life. Oh. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you for your adoption. We thank you for the power of transformation that we will know.
Never fail.
No way.
Oh no.
We are the children of God. family from a different family tree. We are the children of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is touching our hearts. Father God, Papa, Daddy, I thank you that your son Henry spoke to us tonight. I thank you that you started here in his heart and you've spoken tonight to us. It was something you started 42 years ago. Huh. 42nd stop was the promised land.
Come on.
The 42nd generation is Christ. 42 years ago, Henry said yes to you right here. And even me, 42 years ago, said yes to you. So in honor of the 42s, I thank you, God, that there's a new generation here.
Come on.
I thank you that the generation that's here is the generation of Christ.
Yes, yes,
yes. We say goodbye to wilderness living.
Oh, man.
We say hello to promised land. We say hello to a promised land that's not absent your presence. When you gave Moses a choice, you gave him a choice of land or you, he said you. Because of that, another generation entered in with you. And they entered in with you, who's stronger than every giant, more powerful than every ite. And you're drawing the love and the passion from our hearts. You're teaching us to war. But that warfare sounds simple. We are the children of God.
That's a sword.
We are the children of God. We are the sons and the daughters.
Write it, Lord.
We are the children of God.
Reveal it.
Because we have one Father. We are the children of God. So Father, I call that the fruit of this tree will bring glory to your name. I believe you've been touched and ministered to. If anyone has a need to be prayed for further, we've got a team here. Jonathan's here again. Some of you know Jonathan. He's been here many times. Jesse's here. Cathell's here. Henry's here. I'm here. If you need further prayer, we'd be glad to pray for you. But I'm going to turn it back to Mark here. Or whoever. Mark.
Thank you, Pastor Ted. Thank you, Pastor Henry. I think we know who we are. So, tomorrow, do you want to... 1:30? Okay. So tomorrow afternoon, we've just kind of added a little another afternoon in unexpectedly. We're gonna have a small room from Nelson coming, but we just kind of want to open it up to everybody here. If you want to come out tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, we'll be here from 1:30 to 3-ish or 2:30 or whenever it's finished. So we welcome you to come tomorrow. And again, tomorrow night at 6:30.